beetle.
Circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John has been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. The Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
I have never seen you violently throw Roger Badish out of his chair before. That was amazing.
I didn't throw him violently. I just threw him.
You just, just heard a bunch of ruckus up there. Seven floors down, I heard it, for God's sake.
Not like the time I set a pizza on fire in the microwave.
Oh, nice.
That was ruckus.
Nice. That sounds like ruckus. How you doing, buddy?
Okay. All right.
Excellent.
Enjoying the summer. I was out a little bit this week. And just got out and enjoyed, the warmer weather. I went to Michigan for a day on Thursday.
Nice.
Didn't think we were going to get to do much outside because it was pretty stormy at
first.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah.
The storms moved out. The sun came out. We had a nice day.
It bothers me when I talk to people and these people. We had a party at our house today, and then you hear the conversation. Ah, the summer's almost over. No, it's not.
No way.
Get out of here. Shut up. Get
no
out of here.
Way.
Exactly. You know, because
we got at least 5 weeks now, I guess, until Labor Day.
Yeah, but I mean, and kids go back to school at the end of the summer and all that other good stuff. But you know what? The fact is, the warm weather here prevails usually until mid end of October. I love fall. Yeah, me too. But I kind of look at that outdoor activity, outdoor weather thing is really going through, honestly, the holidays, because you're always out here doing things during the Christmas season and so forth. It's January I don't look forward to. So
No, I know. Yes, you can have January and February.
Yeah.
But you're right, Dave.
And yeah.
Well into October, into November. And people are outside doing things, you say, getting toward the holidays because they're, the things to do regarding the holidays outside.
Well, next weekend, I am going to definitely head up to the lake 1 or 2 days. My son's doing a, not an Ironman, but it's like this obstacle thing up north. So we're going to actually go do that. And then
That ninja stuff that I see,
something
on TV?
Like that.
That's
yeah,
a
him
lot
and a
of
buddy.
Work.
It's a lot of work, and then we're going to reward him with. They do this steak fry. It's like a local club in Wisconsin, like that does like a Kiwanis or whatever they call it. It's a steak fry and lobster boil on the lake.
Hey, that sounds fun.
Ooh, it's fabulous! It's fabulous.
We're gonna on
do
the
that?
Lake yet?
On the lake.
Oh.
Yeah, up in Fontana. And then we're going to, I'm going to go up the following weekend. So I'm kind of sucking in summer is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Dave. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One thing I will say, you know, you said you were hearing people saying the summer is almost over and everything else, which it is not. But what is true is summer is short.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, the season is, it comes and goes very quickly.
It does. What I'm looking forward to, though, the only thing I'm looking forward to is when I drive home from the show is I don't want it to be daylight before I go to bed. It drives me crazy that this is the time of the year where that sun's rising.
By the time you get home, you will be seeing some daylight.
I know.
Vampire.
Vampire. That's who I am. 1858, Dave. In the early days of Chicago, volunteer fire companies were handing out the task to put out fires. In October 37, a building on Lake Street a building on Lake Street burned to the ground with a loss of 23 lives, and the result called for official paid firefighters. A year later, calls for the volunteer fire departments to be disbanded became a reality, and the Chicago Fire Department was established in 1858.
with no motorized vehicles.
No motorized vehicles.
Little
yeah.
did they know what they were going to face in less yeah. than 15 years.
Yeah, right, exactly.
1858,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah, 1858.
Yeah. Wow.
1898, Will Kellogg invents cornflakes. The accidental legacy of cornflakes goes back to the late 19th century when a team of Seventh-day Adventists began to develop a new food to adhere to the vegetarian diet recommended by the church. Members of the group experimented with a number of different grains, including wheat, oats, rice, barley, and corn. In 1894, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, the superintendent of the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan, was an Adventist and used three recipes as part of this diet. Couldn't be no alcohol, no caffeine, no tobacco. And when they found that the wheat that they had cooked and let sit became stale, so they decided to continue to process it, forcing it through rollers, hoping to obtain these long sheets of kind of stale, crunchy dough. And to their surprise, what they found instead were flakes, and they were toasted and served to their patients. So the flaked cereals and process of preparing same was the patent that was filed, and cornflakes were born. Let's take a listen.
Glad you stopped by for breakfast, Jimmy. Oh, excuse me a moment, will you?
Oh, a Superman commercial for cornflakes.
Hey, Mr. Kent, you're out of Kellogg's cornflakes.
Yeah, Kellogg's was the sponsor
for Superman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mean there was a spare package? Well, how about running down the store and picking up another one? Jeepers, we got to get to the office. There's no
Jeepers.
Time. Who do you think I am? Superman? No. No, I don't think that. Out of Kellogg's cornflakes. Fine host he is.
Even if Superman did deliver Kellogg's cornflakes, he'd have a tough time keeping everybody happy. More people run out of them every morning than any other cereal. Because Kellogg's cornflakes taste best to more people. Always have, still do. Don't run out at your house. Remember, any time you buy cereal of any kind, pick up a spare package of Kellogg's cornflakes.
Love it. 1940, Bugs Bunny debuts in Wild Hair. And that reminds me of the Ray Rayner Show more than Bugs Bunny.
Oh, the Looney Tunes theme?
Yeah, absolutely. You know Merry Melodies. I think it's Merry Melodies theme.
Merry yeah. Melodies. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I think of when I hear this
what?
Music? The scene in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, oh that's funny.
It's so brilliantly.
Funny. I love that.
Candy
love
grab for Mongo.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? I got to tell you, though, Bugs Bunny is still my favorite, one of my cart favorite. My son, my five-year-old, I've let all my kids watch it, and it is still one of my, because it was really written for adults and children, obviously, back in the
there
day.
There is some catchy humor there for adults.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely. Now, Mel Blanc, who did so many voices for Warner Brothers, also did Bugs Bunny. I want to play this little clip when Mel Blanc, and he was also on the Jack Benny Show for so many years, but he was the voice of so many characters, and he was a guest on Late Night with David Letterman back in the 80s. Let's take a listen.
How do you go about creating a voice? Do you get a voice and then say, draw something to go along with this, or do they come to you and say...
They show me a picture of the character, mm-hmm. and then they say, they show me a storyboard, which shows what the character's going to do in the cartoon. From this, I have to create the voice. Like Bugs, they said, was a tough little stinker. So I thought, which is the toughest voice in this country, the Brooklyn or the Bronx?
So you put the two of them together. That's how I got the voice for Bugs, Doc.
I love that. I love that. I love
it. He was amazing. I understand his son took over after him.
He did for a little while.
You know, had equal ability to do it, or
yep.
fairly equal ability.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I anytime I see him and or I find on YouTube an interview with him, I just find him so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of a kind.
1900, the hamburger was created by Louis Lassing in Connecticut, in New Haven, Connecticut. There was a lunch place advertised itself as the first restaurant to serve hamburgers, and as being the oldest hamburger restaurant still operating, Louis Lunch. In the U.S., they opened up a lunch wagon, I think, in 1895. It was in response to a customer's hurried request for lunch to go. So that's how the hamburger
nothing
came about.
Nothing new there, right?
Nothing new there. Nothing new there. 57, Jack Parr's Tonight Show premieres. He was the second host of the Tonight Show, which originally premiered with Steve Allen. Let's take a little listen to Jack Parr.
This guy called his wife from his office, and she said, "Darling, I'm in the bathtub, and I'm standing here shivering. I'm in the nude, and let me finish the bath. And I'll call you back in 10 minutes." So the guy ran to his friend who knew the girl in his office. He said, "Call my wife right away." And he gave the setup. So the friend called, and there he gets. He says, "Hello, Helen. This is Mort." "Helen, good grief, you're naked."
I love that. I love that. Jack Parr, The Tonight Show. 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signs a bill requiring cigarette makers to print health warnings on all cigarette packages about the effects of smoking. And I think it was only 5 or 6 years later, Dave, that they banned it on television.
That's about right. Yeah, well, radio and television, yeah. All broadcast media. Print media was exempt from it, but broadcast was. And it was New Year's Day, probably 1971 or so. I can remember watching, the Rose Bowl and other games with my dad, and they were making a big deal out of it. You know, during a lull in the game, they would say, "Well, we'll break for a commercial here in a few minutes, but you will not see any tobacco advertising."
And what's funny is a lot of these ads always had a doctor in it telling you why they smoke a certain cigarette.
Yeah, wasn't there? I think it was for Kent cigarettes, saying that this was a healthy alternative to. The other brands that were out there?
Well, this station's still going to play one. Let's take a listen.
You know, if you were to follow a busy doctor as he makes his daily round of calls, you'd find yourself having a mighty busy time keeping up with him. Time out for many men of medicine usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel.
Oh, man, yeah. Congratulations to Camel on that one, man. Survey,
more doctors smoke Camel.
Isn't that funny? The doctors recommend
and
Camel.
And without the filter.
Yeah,
with
gross. Oh, disgusting. Disgusting. Let's see here. 1975, Teamsters president Jimmy Hoffa disappears in suburban Detroit. Now, here is a theory by his former driver, who I think is still around. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Hoffa is in the concrete, in the cornerstone of the Renaissance Center Hotel in Detroit, Michigan. They were getting ready to build the hotel. Mr. Hoffa goes missing. And the next day, all hell broke loose to pour concrete. They did everything to make sure. I never saw concrete poured so quick in my life. Director of the FBI was on TV once. Larry King asked him where he says, "We're not sure, but we think the Canadian driver is probably right." After this happened, but I had thought of that before. There was a big meeting held at a hotel across the road from the Renaissance called the Omni. The head of the meeting was the head of the Detroit Mafia, Tony Giacalone. For a break, it was over, they said, "Let's have a little break. We'll have breakfast." The meeting was over after 3 days. "Let's go across to the Renaissance and have breakfast there." So we all did. And as we crossed the dividing line from the Omni to the Renaissance, Mr. Tony Giacalone says, "Say good morning to Mr. Hoffa, boys."
Let me just ask you this question. If he's made this claim and he said it before, why haven't they dug that up yet? Or unless
that's a good question.
Unless the hotel is sitting on that property. 1988, the last U.S. Playboy Club, which was founded here in Chicago, closed in Lansing, Michigan. 1990, Zsa Zsa Gabor begins a 3-day jail sentence for slapping a cop.
I remember that.
2002, 9 coal miners trapped in the flooded mine in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, are rescued after 77 hours underground. And this week, OJ is going to be released from prison. I mean, that it was almost
what
20
a saga.
Yeah,
over the last 25 years or so.
Yeah, it was 25 years ago is when he was required to pay the Goldman family and Nicole Brown Simpson's family, the money that he's really never given up. They can't touch his pension. But, watching this unfold and realizing that he has actually been in jail for the last 9 years. I didn't realize it was that long, Dave.
I know, yeah, 9 years for this was now unrelated to the situation of the murder of, his ex-wife and her friend.
But I'm sure to their family, since they believe did it, that it's a lot of satisfaction that he spends some time behind bars for something.
For something, I guess, yeah. But 9 years for theft and burglary.
Amazing. Coming out this October. All right, Walter Jacobson coming up next, 720 WGN.